Another episode of Elsie's Little Pickles.
Did we ever really leave?
Did we? I don't feel like we did. I feel like we've been in these pod chairs since the last pod. But
pretty much. Actually, I have noticed, out of doing a lot of editing, putting the shows together, that apparently either, I don't think it's a microphone because it's built for this, but I think it's the internet. The transfer of data from here to you to back to me and then back there.
Yeah.
It does not like my voice.
Well, that's
possible. It's like my voice is too boomy. And so it just distorts. I mean, people use these microphones on kick drums and
right. Cabinets. You shouldn't have any issue.
It just, the internet does not like my voice. It digitizes it sometimes.
Oh. Well,
gives me an unnatural vocal fry.
Maybe we can.
What a vocal fry sounds like. But I don't have that. It's just a James Earl Jones softness.
Maybe the. Yeah, gee. You got the cuddly Darth Vader about you.
Princess Leia, why don't you hop in my bed?
Wow, wow, wow.
Bow, chicky, bow, bow. It does kind of feel like we were just at this. However, we did have a holiday. Unfortunately, we weren't able to spend it together because of distance between us. But
the question is, would you want to spend your holiday with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
You spent so many with me in the past. Maybe you're just tired.
Well, it's way better. See, I don't do holidays, so it really wouldn't matter to me. I don't do any of them. I don't do any of them.
But I'm quick to try to force you into doing the holidays.
Yeah, I know. I
will find a way.
I know you always want me to.
I will show up with a ham on Thanksgiving because neither of us like turkey.
And you know my love for ham.
Yeah, ham.
Honey baked.
A mess of green bean casserole. Mm-hmm. We both love the green bean casserole.
And I make
that says Thanksgiving to me. Mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, some corn.
Pumpkin pie.
Oh, gotta have a pumpkin pie with an entire can taters. Of whipped cream.
Yeah. Mashed taters.
Yeah, the taters. I do like yams or wood.
No.
Well. In America, they are sweet potatoes. In the rest of the world, they actually have yams. The yams are not for sale in the United States of America.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's a lie. It's a trade embargo.
Yeah. But, as you know, I don't do shit for the holidays. I don't participate. I'm not interested in them. I have long since let that ship sail. I can't get behind it. And I know, you know, like if it's Christmas, people are like, oh, you're a humbug. Or if it's, Thanksgiving, whoa, you don't want to sell. It's a food. It's an eating holiday. Why, you know, Easter.
Every holiday is an eating holiday.
Well,
let's be honest.
Let's be honest here. It's just Thanksgiving and Christmas, I think. You get your Christmas dinner and you get your Thanksgiving dinner. And it's really, and you get it on Easter too, Easter dinner.
Did we really ever have a Christmas dinner? I mean, on Christmas Day, we would go out for Chinese.
That's when,
much like,
yeah, that's when we would celebrate the dinner part of it was on Christmas Day. On Christmas Eve, it was always.
On Christmas Eve was, you know, cheese fondue, like a.
Yeah.
Not a fancy fondue. I'm talking like the Campbell's cheddar cheese soup.
I never understood it. I remember Mom explaining to me that the reason why they did what they did was because that was their tradition growing up. So they would do something like a cheese fondue. They would definitely do Limburger cheese and what was it?
Pickled pig's feet.
Pickled pig's feet and
pickled herring.
Pickled herring. And I thought, so to you, Christmas represents how many disgusting foods you can put in your mouth and not puke. You know what I mean? Because I tried all of it. None of it, you know, and maybe it was because I was a kid.
But the pig's feet, the Limburger, just, I love cheese. It's just not that much.
Well, and the fucking thing is that Mom would always prepare the house 2 weeks early for any, like, visitation from family or whatever. I mean, it got to the point as she got older in age, it wouldn't be 2 weeks. It would be 3 weeks, then 4 weeks. It got to the point where she would have dishes put out. And we would have to rewash the dishes and all the place settings because they've been sitting out for so long. And they'd got a small film of dust on them.
You ever see the movie Christmas with the Cranks?
No.
Tim Allen?
No.
Watch it. You will recognize the Dan Aykroyd character in the movie, Frohmeyer, I do believe his name is. And he is the amalgamation of auntie and mom, where everything had to be the exact same.
It was fucking Groundhog. Yeah, it was Groundhog Day. You know, that was the other part of it. It was like, it didn't matter which holiday it was. We all sat in the same spots, talked about the same shit, ate the same fucking food. I just ran out of patience with it. I ran out of, and then I started actually learning like how these things came to be, like the holidays came to be. You know what I mean? And even in its simplest form, when I wasn't really like looking for it, you know, a Good Friday. You know, coming up on Easter, right? Since Easter just passed. Good Friday. Oh, okay. So we're celebrating Jesus getting crucified. Am I wrong?
Well, let's be honest here. Good Friday is just a celebration of Jesus's 3-day weekend to go party. He disappears. Well, he's just going to party. He'll be back in 3 days.
See, that's the thing, though, is like, I think people really, yeah, it's like, I think he's gone in 3 days.
What did he sacrifice, really?
Yeah,
he sacrificed a weekend.
A weekend, yeah. He was a partier.
He wasn't crucified. He was just hungover.
The idea of celebrating Easter, all right, which... For those who know, it's a pagan holiday. It's the idea of fertility, and it's not just like fertility of humans.
Astora,
that's
what Easter is named after.
The Greek goddess, right?
Yep, I do believe Greek.
I'm pretty sure she was a Greek goddess.
I don't know if I could say she was Greek. The point is things are named after not only Easter but estrogen. Is named after her. Go figure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty on the nose. But, I mean, there's lots of things. Symbols of rabbits. What do rabbits do a lot?
Fuck.
They lay eggs, but they fuck.
Yeah, like as a kid.
It's a symbol of fertility.
That's what it's meant to be. A symbol of fertility. And I get they tried to attach, well, wait a minute, you know, we killed him, but he got reborn, so that's the fertility thing part of it. Like, that's how they got him in the beginning. But.
Yes. Because the Christians, anything mythical has to do with fertility.
Yeah. So, like, as a kid, it was interesting.
We're going to symbolize fertility, but you priests, you're not allowed to fuck.
Right. But as a kid, it was even more so. It was like real, for me.
Not allowed to marry. They can fuck all the choir boys they want, apparently.
Yeah, and we'll just move them around and pay when we have to and kick them out of the church if we had to. But
did they really ever kick anyone out of the church, or they just pull them back to the Vatican?
No. They have basically the equivalent, I guess, of being fired.
Yeah,
and I'm sure they got pretty good.
After 50 years of abuse, he was finally turned out. Well, you know, that's what they do.
Pretty sure, though, they get
decent. They take in a Nazi. They've got no problem with child molesters.
Pretty sure they get decent, like, severance packages. So, let's see here.
A lot of wine and bread.
All right, so let me ask you this.
Yeah. Ask away, sir.
As a kid, this is where I started having a problem with holidays, and specifically religious holidays.
Yes.
I did not and could not get an adult. I tried to get an adult to give me an answer to this, but I couldn't. And I was probably 7, 8 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know, and I remember asking in a Sunday school class, I remember asking, what does a bunny or eggs or chocolate have to do with Easter, all right? And they couldn't, they, you know, like Easter is actually mentioned in the Bible. I don't know if you remember that.
Passover.
Well, Acts, no, they actually call it Easter in the King James Bible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I actually did not know that.
Yeah, it's Acts 12.
The shit you say, sir. I think I'll have to check this out.
I think it's Acts 4:12. I think is.
Well, that's easy to explain why it's even an Acts. Because Jesus was very fond of rabbits and using Easter eggs in his magical act.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
They would jump through the hole in his hands.
Acts.
And then when he was done, he'd use the egg to plug the hole in.
Oh, we're going to get so much mail on this one. So much. There's going to be comments. There's going to be comments. But in the Bible, Acts 12:4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Okay, so it is, Easter is in the Bible, and for whatever that's worth, I don't think the Bible's really worth the paper it's printed on.
No, it's made up.
But when you,
the Council of Nicaea did.
Yeah, exactly.
How do we explain this? Hey, Bobby, why don't you write something poetic to fill in the gaps? Well, there's a lot of fucking gaps.
There's a, yeah.
This took a council to do. And at that, they voted, what books go into the Bible? Yeah, what books? All right, that doesn't really fit our
narrative.
Propaganda.
Yeah.
This doesn't go with the whole story. Let's pay no attention to the books underneath the cloth.
But I guess, like I said, you know, to me, I look at it and I go, even as a kid, I was trying to figure out the connection. And no adult was willing to tell me if they knew, which I don't think they did know. You know what I mean?
No, like there is no connection.
Well, no, the adults that I was around, you know, mom, dad, our Sunday school teachers, our pastors, you know, I don't know if they knew or they were just such blind believers that this was a pagan thing that, like, dad got pretty deep into Bible study and eventually was running a class, an adult Bible study class. And
yes,
and really did a lot of like deep dives and trying to figure out origins and so on and so forth. So he finally came to the point where he was able to go, well, okay, yeah, it started out as a you know, a pagan celebration, right? And he's like, that's where you get your rabbits, that's where you get your eggs, that's where you get, you know, chocolate. Chocolate is meant to be the aphrodisiac that gets you to the point where you're fucking like bunnies. And the eggs are just representative of fertility.
Boy, was the Vatican a buzz in those days.
Oh, I can only imagine. So, like, for me,
behind
I look
every
at
every altar is a man in a robe with a boner.
Why do you think they have the podium in front of them? You know,
that's right.
Why do you think they wear the robe? But like I said, for me, very early on, and this is probably
Father
going.
Michael, are you just happy to see me, or is that a Eucharist?
You're such an ass. But like I said,
what you're hearing right now is the sound of millions and millions of people turning us off.
Yeah, exactly. So. How do we start a podcast where people shut it down before it's even really started? Let's talk about religion. That'll work.
Get that Keith guy off the podcast. He doesn't respect my religion.
Well, that was part of what happened this last Easter. That was part of the story. So Trans Visibility Day has been ever since 2009 on March 31st. And when Biden acknowledged that and acknowledged that March 31st is National Trans Visibility Day and we should celebrate that, the Christians went ape shit. They went fucking nuts.
I have no pearls to clutch.
They went so, I mean, I'm telling you, I couldn't even look. And, you know, I don't spend much time on social media, but fuck, all I did was look at Twitter and it was like a war ground. And I thought, I thought to myself, okay, this is why I don't buy into these kind of bullshit ideas of Christianity or faith or religion. Because if you can get that triggered over something like that, that just shows how weak you are as a person. Because no one's forcing you. You know what I mean? Like, no one is forcing you. Oh, great. Now I have to go and get the banners that say, you know, Trans Visibility Day and hang them out front. Son of a bitch, I have to go and buy trans decorations. Oh, my God. How am I going to fit a trans dessert into this meal that's supposed to be celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ? Well, you're not. You're just not. You're going to go online and you're going to fucking put a tweet out, or you're going to post a Facebook posting or whatever the fuck it is you're going to do to show the world that you are outraged by this. But it doesn't change your fucking life one iota. It doesn't change a fucking thing in your day. It doesn't change a fucking thing about your celebration. You're not going to have anything bothered when you go to church unless the pastor, priest, or whatever your religious leader is mentions Trans Visibility Day in either a positive or a negative. You're not going to be around your family and everyone's going to be all bent out of shape because now they have to put on the trans hat or the trans wig to celebrate the fucking trans day. It doesn't change shit. So calm the fuck down, sit the fuck down, and shut the fuck up. Meanwhile, you're allowed to celebrate your zombie. Enjoy. Fucking enjoy. Okay? Because if we're talking ridiculous, at least a fucking trans person is somebody that I can actually see, talk to, and if I choose to, poke with my finger. Your fucking zombie dude ain't nowhere. Ain't coming back. Been over 2,000 years. Sit down, shut up.
Let it not be said that I am not a fair man. I am perfectly open to the idea, you know, right now I am going to let God give a rebuttal.
And
apparently has nothing to say.
Yeah, silence. And trust me, we did shoot him an email to see if he would come on the pod. God does have social media presence and emails. But that's my point.
Actually, have you seen the Facebook page called God?
No, I don't use Facebook for fucking anything if I can avoid it.
Well, there. I think they also do Twitter, X, whatever it is, but there is a Facebook that's called God who responds to people the way that you and I think God should respond to people with stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like hard. Oh, yeah. Like hard. Maybe I will check that out.
It's pretty fucking funny.
I can imagine.
I remember one particular comment that God left to someone. It was on the far right, bitching about, I don't even remember what they were bitching about, but God said, calm your tits.
I would love. And
then when the person replied with a, that is not a proper response from someone that would be a deity, he again said, calm your tits, but only your left one, your right one is the party one.
It's just, like I said, these people, they get so wrapped up in stupid stuff. You know what I mean? Like, just ridiculous stuff. So in response to everyone losing, you know, all these Christians and evangelicals losing their shit because Easter, which is falls dependent upon a lunar cycle, okay? So it's basically how the planets are fucking moving. That determines what day Easter is going to be on. So Easter could be in March. It could be in April. It floats. Mm-hmm. Every year it floats. All right. And they were mad because their Easter landed on Trans Day. Well, you know what else March 31st was?
What's that?
National Tater Day. Come at me, tater haters. Come at me. Come at me, tater hater. You know what else it was?
Let me just
I believe
say.
It was also National Balloon Day. Okay? So
Oh, what if they had a balloon that was in the shape of a potato?
Oh God. But had a picture of a trans person on it. So this is my point about manufactured art, you know, manufactured anger. And that's all this is. It's just manufactured anger. Yeah. Right? If you're not going to be equally as angry that March 31st is Trans Visibility Day, along with Easter, when Easter is the one that floated onto it, you better be as pissed off that it's also National Tater Day, and you also better be pissed off that it's National Balloon Day. And I want to know how that changed your celebration of Easter. Did you have taters and balloons and invite a trans person over?
If we're going to be passing around taters. Could I request some potato pancakes?
Absolutely. Look, potato pan, come on.
Delightful.
I got you covered.
I also want to say that if you're going to manufacture anger and hatred, how about first recognizing the fact that your religious leaders, historically back in the day, you all wore dresses. Just a fancy dress without sensible shoes. They wore sandals. One step away from high heels. Go fuck yourself.
Exactly. All had long hair.
The only thing missing it to, that would make it a dress is a belt. And you know what? They probably wore a belt.
Well, again, like I said, it's this manufactured anger that when you think about it, let's say you were very religious and you didn't understand that it wasn't that Biden was taking away your Easter and replacing it with a trans visibility day. Okay, let's give you the benefit of the doubt that you have no idea about any of this. You've been raised in a circumstance or situation where you just believe the Christian narrative on this. Okay, you don't believe that it's comes out of pagan origin. You don't believe, like, all those things. I'll give you everything. But you still don't have to celebrate it.
No.
It still doesn't change your life. National Trans Visibility Day on Easter, where, like, again, Easter fell on Trans Day. Trans Day didn't fall on Easter. In the worst scenario, you're upset because you were made aware of that.
You know,
it's not changing anything.
That these evangelical Christian evangelicals could have ignored the trans day just as God ignores their prayers.
Yeah, and for those of you who get a bug up your ass because we're going against Christianity or going against evangelicals, let it be known that both of us were raised in a Christian evangelical church from the time we were born until we each hit about 15, which was the point where we were able to physically say, no, I'm not going, and Dad couldn't make us because he wasn't strong enough to yank us through the door. I mean, I don't know how it was for you, but Dad, this is how fucked up it was for me. Dad would go to church for the early service, drive back home in between, pick me up, kicking and screaming, drag me out, and make me sit in the car if I wouldn't go into the service. I'd have to sit in the car because he's like, you're going to be part of this family even if you're sitting in the parking lot. And then I'd have to wait for the service to end.
Mm-hmm.
And once the parking lot was cleared, I was then allowed to take out the church's garbage. Okay? So when I say this shit, yeah, that was a negative experience, sure, and that may have turned me to a degree, but the reason I didn't want to go in the first place was because I had spent so much time in church and asking questions that no one was giving me answers to that I stopped believing it. You know, like, I'm like, look, if you guys can't tell me why you believe this, or if you can't give me the history behind this, if you can't give me more detail behind this, other than it's God's will, guess what? Peace out. I'm done. What's that?
Begat.
Yeah, begat. Yeah, fucking hell. Just leave me alone with it, okay? But with that being said, I know you've read the Bible. I've read it twice.
Yes.
I don't know how many times you've read it. How many times have you read it, like front to back?
I couldn't even tell you.
Okay, I know for a fact I've read it front to back twice. And the second time was to make sure that I wasn't misinterpreting what I fucking looked at the first time, because that left me going, are you kidding me? So there were a lot of points in the Bible, you know, because you didn't have Dennis, did you?
Dennis.
I don't want to say last names because.
Yeah, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Curly hair was the professor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how deep did you get into his Bible study? Did you finish reading the Bible?
I don't think I ever had Dennis.
He was phenomenal. He was great. He was actually the one that had it not been for him, I don't think I would have made it to, you know, 11 years old in the church. But he was doing everything he could. And it was interesting because he taught it like it was a college class. So he didn't really play into the mystic bullshit. You know what I mean? He would try to explain to you like, okay, well, that's, you know, a metaphor, or that's fancy language, or that's, you know, not really how it played out, but to make the story, but like he would try to deconstruct it and explain it to you in a way that was palatable. And had it not been for him, I would have been done with the church 10, 11 years old. He started,
sounds like he was more of the Christian apologetic.
In a way. Yeah. In a way, he approached it more from a professorial point of view. And you could say that would classify as apologetic. Yeah, I could see that. However, I mean, like I said, I mean, here I am at a young age, 7, 8 years old, questioning where the bunny, where the chocolate, where the egg, where's this coming from? And I, even at that young age, looked at Good Friday and looked at Easter with a bit of a raised eyebrow, because it was like, I was smart enough at least at that age to go, well, you're celebrating on Friday him being fucking brutally crucified. Brutally
beaten.
In
a good way. In a good
way. But it's for my sin. And I thought to myself, I'm 7, 8 years old. I'm going, well, he didn't have to do that for me. I could just try to be a better person.
You know what that reminds me of? The documentary Jesus Camp. Have you seen that?
No.
It's very fascinating in a very terrifying, sad way. Where this, you know, 8 or 9 year old boy says that, you know, he became saved, a servant of Christ, because he wanted more out of life. How much more out of life can an 8 year old get?
Like, see, that's,
tell me about your experiences.
So that's part of the reason why, like, I refuse.
You want to talk about indoctrination.
Well, that's it. So that was one of the things, like, for me, I refused, and I took a lot of shit for this. I took a lot of shit from parents, in-laws, you name it. I took a lot of shit for this. I refused, and I refused to take my son to church. I refused to have him baptized. I refused to allow him to be indoctrinated. And my argument was, you can tell a child from, you know, the point where they can understand. You know, I remember literally doing, like, coloring. I probably would have been 4 or 5 years old at the time, and sitting in one of those classrooms, and we were required to, you know, color in Jesus coloring books, right? Yeah. So, like I remember that vividly. And I remember that indoctrination up until the point where I started asking questions. And when I started asking harder questions, that's when I started getting kind of side-eyed looks from church people and elders and respected people within the church.
Because they do not like questions.
No. But like I said, you know, for me, it went from wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. I'm 8 years old, seven, 8 years old, and it doesn't make sense to me. And no one's giving me really the answers to finally 15, 16 years old where I'm like, I'm out. This is done. No more. But in between, like 13, 14, 15, you know, I was the guy that had to take the garbage out.
You ever notice that the least educated states in the United States of America are also the most religious?
Well, I think that that has to do with when you don't have any hope. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen that with a lot of people. You don't, no, I'm serious. Like, I've seen that with a lot of people.
That's just an interesting perspective.
I've seen it. I've seen that with family members. You know what I mean? Where something bad happens in their life and they're just like, I'm just giving it over to Jesus. Well, that's not a plan of attack. You know what I mean?
No, it's not a sense of responsibility.
You're still going to have a fucking flat tire. You can't just leave that for Jesus. You need to leave that for...
I'm giving Jesus the wheel.
Yeah. I would suggest calling AAA. You know what I mean? Like, no, let's not do 1-800 dial-a-prayer. Let's do call AAA.
In the same sense, I remember watching a docu. And are you familiar with Ted Haggard?
Yes.
The Reverend Pastor, yes. Whatever they want to call him, who got busted with the teenage prostitute boy.
Oh, maybe I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't. It's the same Ted Haggard.
Okay.
The evangelical pastor.
He's got the weird outspoken mouth.
Yeah. He was busted with a teenage boy in a hotel room. Apparently you didn't know that.
No, I didn't.
A couple years ago. But anyway. He went off on an interviewer, upset that the interviewer referred to humans as animals. And Ted Haggard flew up in his car afterwards, after telling them all to get out, and lambasted them, you know, how dare you refer to my flock as just a bunch of animals. Now, I am not the most educated man in the world. But if you're going to refer to people as your flock, you are also referring to them as animals.
Yeah.
Flock, you know, most usually it's going to be referred to a flock of sheep. A sheep is, in fact, an animal. And as an animal, what do sheep need to be guided, to be cared for by? A shepherd, right?
Yeah.
So the idea that these sheep, humans, a congregation, our sheep, and somebody, usually it is Jesus or God, is referred to as the good shepherd. What do shepherds do with sheep?
They raise them to slaughter.
My point.
Did you know, and this is a funny like side thing, and I wish I could remember where I learned this from, and I don't even know if it's true, but apparently in somewhere in Africa, they don't have sheep. They don't
just
have
for
sheep.
Clarification, they fleece them, then slaughter them.
Yes.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So somewhere, I think it's in Africa. I think it's some country in Africa. They don't, like, the idea of a flock of sheep doesn't translate because they deal with pigs.
Is it like a flock of seagulls?
No. No, that's just cool. That's just cool haircuts.
Do they have all really cool haircuts?
Yeah. So they had to make it a flock of swine. So in this particular area, they don't say it, you know, my flock, you know what I mean? They don't refer to it as my flock of sheep. They refer to it as their flock of swine. So now we don't have to fleece you. We're just going to make you squeal like a pig.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
The Father, sorry,
the, Father, the Son, and the wee, wee. So, like I said, what bothered me...
pickled pig's feet.
What bothered me the most about this Easter is the fact that people were just manufacturing all this anger for something that... It's not, I mean, the worst case scenario is you go to Easter to celebrate, or you have people over to celebrate, and that story gets mentioned. And if that story gets mentioned, guess what? You're now helping to bring forward that visibility. If no one mentions the story at your house, if you say, right out of the gate, put a little note on the door, we will not be celebrating nor discussing Trans National Visibility Day in this house all day, totally. If you can't not talk about it, go away. Okay? You have that kind of control in your house. You have the ability as a person to go, you know what? Uncle Doug, I don't want to talk about trans people being visible at all. You know what I mean? Whether you're pro-trans or anti-trans, doesn't matter. You have the ability to not engage in that conversation on that particular day with those particular people for any reason that you choose. And we forget that. We forget that we can say, you know what? I'm not interested in having that conversation. Just the same way we forget, we're able to say, you know what? I don't know enough about that topic to have an opinion one way or the other at this point. I know which way I'm leaning, but I'm leaning that way without any information. I'm leaning that way emotionally, not logically. So don't talk about it. Wait till you, and if you do talk about it, go ahead and talk about it emotionally, but realize that you're talking about that emotionally. And there's nothing wrong with doing that either. But don't let your emotion fool you into thinking that you actually know shit about that topic. And that's all that happened at every fucking heavily Christian, tight-knit family, you know, conservative, traditional household on Easter Sunday. They just couldn't. And they just all had to, you know, spout out without knowledge and without even acknowledging the fact that it's like, okay, I don't know anything about trans people and I don't know anything about Trans Visibility Day. I don't know if this is, I know Easter falls on a different Sunday every day or every year. Maybe that happened. You know, like at least jump at it logically. But the vitriol that was out there from Christians or Christian influencers or mouthpieces was, I can't believe they're taking Easter away from us. No one took Easter away from you. Guess what? Easter will be here next year. And it'll be on a different day. It will be on a different... In fact, I'm going to double check to make sure that I'm not speaking out of turn on that. But what killed me more than anything was never being one to...
The day that Easter is determined by the first Sunday after the full moon, isn't that...
It has to do with... Yeah, so next year, Easter is on April 20th. Which, and that's also Orthodox Easter. So there's different Easters.
Let me just wish you a happy Thor's Day. Because you know what today is. It's Thursday, yes. Which is named after Thor. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but you know what? If they do something with trans on that, on Thor's Day, I might have to lose my shit and make a mean post and talk about how my rights are being taken away. So and this was the best part. Never one to miss a political opportunity to make an ass out of himself. Fucking Trump goes,
yeah.
Okay, well, November 5th is National Christian Visibility Day because that's election day.
Yeah, apparently people have a hard time seeing Christians.
Saying what?
Seeing Christians.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't find them anywhere. Can't find their places.
Lines, Florida has passed a bill to allow ministers and chaplains into public schools. For what purpose, I'm not really sure. However, there is a bunch of outrage because one religion has come up with a whole lot of people wanting to get into the schools under this bill, and that would be the Satanic Temple.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, I kind of love them. I kind of do love them.
Oh, I remember. I am officially a card-carrying member of the Satanic Temple.
See, I won't become a member of anything if I can avoid it.
Well, you don't pay dues. I just purchased a card that says I am a card-carrying member of the Satanic Temple. Because so there's no, they don't believe in.
There's no tithing, no nothing.
No, nothing.
No fundraising that they try to reach out for.
No. They ask people, anyone, if they want to donate time or money to events like After School Satan Club, which is about studying. It's like basically a tutoring program of, you know, education. Just has a really cool name.
So there's also they don't even talk about religion. There's like, you need help with your math?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's hysterical. There's
also Menstruating with Satan, which they collect sanitary equipment for women, you know, pads, tampons, whatnot, to give away to the poor or anyone who needs them.
Oh, they're just such horrible people.
Yeah, they're terrible people.
Terrible. Terrible.
And as one, apparently one, I don't remember if it was a school board member or a member of Congress, somebody mentioned that the Satanic Temple is funded by all of their lawsuits that they launch. And this is also not true, because quite often when they sue some school board or group, typically they sue for $1 because they just want to make a point.
See, I like that. I like that. If you can do that, if you've got the ability to do that, where it's like, look, I'm not even, you can't say I'm in this for the money. I'm suing for $1.
Yeah. Well,
I'm suing for $1 and a change of policy.
It seems to me that change of policy, that idea of seeking equality, upsets a certain group of people out there. And my question is, why are you so afraid, unless you know how minorities or people who don't have equality have been treated in the past?
Well, again, I think it always goes back to I think it always goes back to power and control. You know what I mean? If you think about it, you know, so like in marriages, they'll say that the number one cause of divorce is money and sex. And I disagree with that. I don't think that that's right. I think that that's a very superficial way to look at it. But I think, honestly, what it boils down to is jealousy and control. You know what I mean? So, like, probably, if you're trying to control, whether it's the family budget, the image, family image, you know, like, you're worried about how you look to other neighbors, you're worried about, you know, whatever it is that you feel like you might, you're holding on to that. You know what I mean? So in some families, the wife handles the budget. The wife handles paying the bills. The man just goes and works and brings home the money, and she may or may not work, or may, you know, stay home and be a stay-at-home mom, whatever the case may be. But when the guy is told, no, you can't have $1,000 for that stupid fucking drone that you're going to play with for, you know, a week, and then it's going to sit on a shelf, and that guy gets mad because here he's the breadwinner and he can't necessarily frivolously spend $1,000 on a fucking drone, that might cause a problem. That problem could become more of a problem. They could argue. She could feel like he's not paying attention to her. She could have an affair. He could have an affair. Whatever the case may be. And then it's like jealousy, control, control, jealousy, control, jealousy, jealousy, control. It's a back and forth. And I think that that's what you see with these, you know, hardcore Christian nuts, is they feel like they're losing control. So now they're starting to speak out more.
You just brought up drones, which reminded me of news story / video I just watched last night that was absolutely fascinating. It was two American F-18s flying, and their payloads were 103 12-inch drones. And you got to watch the F-18s launch the drones in flight.
Really?
Over targets, right?
Yeah.
Not actually over the target, just in the generalized area. an AI clicked in on the drones and guided them. And you got to see where they looked like a bunch of spaghetti on the radar. And then they lined up in a straight line and just swept an entire area of about 60 miles.
Just blasting the shit out of it.
Just blasting the fuck out of there.
Where was this supposedly? Was this like an exercise or was this?
It was, yeah, it was just an exercise. The drones were created by MIT. And you got to watch them all line up within seconds of each other in a straight line. They moved across their target. Then they singled out a single target. Like basically
how many
an
drones?
Area 103.
103 drones that they launched.
Correct. Oh, wow. All at once. And these swept across an area in a straight line and then got to the main target and broke off into just a circle. And all they did was circle this area of like 3 square miles, bombing the fuck out of that next.
That's
and then returned.
Fucking impressive.
Nothing was guided by man. It was all done by AI. And
that's
it was
terrifying.
Reported that each target was about the size of a quarter. Of a quarter.
So they had
and the accuracy was 100%. Now, saying that, we talked about a civil war. just a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And yeah. Gravy Team 6 is going to spend about 45 seconds out in that field if it comes down to them against the actual military. And as the fat ass is dipping his McNuggets into his
I have to correct
sour sauce.
I have to correct you. It's not Gravy Team 6. It's Meal Team 6 and the Gravy Seals.
Yeah. I call the Gravy Seals. I call them Seal Team Mix 6 is my name.
They're so stupid. But, they're so stupid.
It's just the idea that you really think that an AR-15 bought at Dick's Sporting Goods is going to even stand
Dick's
a
doesn't even sell them anymore. That's
well, there you go.
So that's my point with this idea.
The gun shows at the flea market.
Well, no, they can still go to the regular gun shops. You know what I mean? So like you can go to a regular gun store, but
just
to
like
your point, you do make a good point. And the point is no matter how much ammo you have, no matter how many like over the counter weapons that you can buy, you're buying consumer grade. You're not buying military grade. And even if you are doing everything you can to convert it and you convert it to automatic, and you're still just talking guns. You know what I mean? Even if you get a 50 cal, you're still just talking guns. And we're talking they can launch drones that can hit a quarter. Fucking what chance do you even have? Oh, I'll hide in my house
5,000 feet up.
Yeah. Oh, I'll hide in my house and I'll make a bunker. Okay, so like, okay, great, you make a bunker. Well, do you think that your bunker is going to be better than any of the bunkers that Saddam Hussein was in? Do you think that your bunker is going to be like, they can literally at this point scan the houses and see if there's where
drone,
the life forms are.
Each of these drones was 12 inches. Why? I'm sorry.
What were they shooting?
Last I checked, what's that?
What were they shooting?
Like, that they would not release. That
see, that's what I'm curious about is if they're only 12 inches wide, they can't be carrying a large payload.
Big enough to cause mass devastation.
That's amazing. I'd be curious to see what that drone was shooting and what its payload was.
Somewhere in a bunker, there'll be a SEAL Team Mix 6 dipping his little chicken nuggets, preparing his little store-bought MREs in his little bunker when he's going to hear...
Oh, he won't even hear it.
He's
going to
shit his drawers.
No, you won't even hear it. You won't even hear it. And that's my point, is all these fucking knuckleheads calling for civil war. you know,
and once there's AI in everything,
it's not going to work.
AI as a wireless 5G network that if you have a drone, what would it take to over control that drone? Take control of that private drone.
Right.
At the very, it may not kill you, but it sure as hell will hurt if it hits you in the face.
Yeah, it'll keep taking dives at you. You know, yeah. So
just saying.
There's just all.
I just wanted to bring that up because I found it fascinating.
See, you know what though? I'm fascinated by that type of technology, and you know that. I think that's why you do that to me. You know, I'm fascinated with the idea of AI. You know, I'm fascinated with military technology and the fact that, you know, we live in a world where people think that they're going to, in their own country, which has the number one military in the entire world, that they're going to take over their government in some form or fashion. I mean, if and this is
overthrow my government.
This is no like, I'm not, no disrespect to National Guard, okay? But you're not even going to be able to go up against National Guard. No. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's just the, you know, the older dudes, you know, that are just trying to get whatever benefits they can get, you're not winning. They've got better equipment. They've got better everything. They've got better everything. You're not fucking winning. You know, and it doesn't really matter, because really, how much longer are we actually going to have to put up with each other on the planet? You know what I mean? Like, we're getting to the point where with AI, the
did you see where they used AI to pilot a satellite to smash it into a meteor? To see if they could do it and change the course of this meteor. This is about 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I can't remember. Did part of it break off and cause a bigger problem, or did it actually softly nudge it?
It softly nudged it.
I mean,
and so what happened is they guided the satellite way out. I'm talking way out into space. It then jettisoned a satellite off of the main piece. The other one went floating off into space, but AI took over, guiding itself by the meteor and by the stars, the constellations. AI judged where it needed to go to make the precise strike to knock this meteor from possibly hitting Earth in the future.
And yet, just because you don't like Joe Biden, you think you're gonna win some sort of civil war. Meanwhile, we're knocking asteroids that could potentially destroy the planet off trajectory with AI. Yeah. And I know we talk about AI a lot, but it, you know, right now they're saying it could be as soon as 2028, 2029, 2030, somewhere in there. So like, not much later than
right 20... on cue for Ray Kurzweil.
Yeah, exactly. He's 2030, I think it was. It was here with with Ray.
2030.
Was it 2030?
You'll be able to download your consciousness into a AI holographic program.
I think that's a little bit aggressive on that, but maybe not. I mean, he's been right on a bunch of things, so.
Yeah, dude's got like an 88% correct prediction.
On Rotten Tomatoes. Audience, not critics.
Well, does anybody honestly nowadays listen to critics?
I don't even, does that job actually still exist?
I don't know if it exists.
I don't know that. I mean, maybe it does, but I don't think
Lord
anyone
knows. I haven't been to a movie theater itself since, I think it's been 2 years.
Well,
since I
was probably
see Batman in the theater with a friend of mine, but again, I had a hard time. I just don't think I can do theaters anymore. It's not people or anything. It is a comfort level of vaping and peeing.
And pausing. Well, that's the thing, too, is, you know, the quality of,
I mean, it,
of sound.
In Texas, the old school theaters in Texas do not exist where you just go sit down. It is tables, high back leather chairs like recliners, and you get a waiter.
Well, I think that, I think that all of them are going that way because they realize it's the only way to bring people into the theater. You can't.
Well, but I'm saying that has been a thing in Texas since the early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
They're way ahead on that. Kudos to you, Texas, because that was very nice. But anyway, we're talking about holidays. Speaking of holidays, what would be your perfect Christmas?
Jesus.
I just saw the face, the look on your face go,
fuck.
Oh, boy.
There was this one Christmas.
Yeah.
That I decided, this is when I was really getting fed up with it. So if we're talking about just for me personally, I peaced out one year and I got a room at the MGM Grand.
Really?
And did not participate in anything, so I got the room, brought a bottle of whiskey with me, went down, had a nice dinner, went up, had a couple drinks, laid there for a little bit, watched a little TV, went back down, walked around. I'm not a gambler, but
neither am I,
drop a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there, just to entertain myself. Went back up to the room, had a couple of drinks, went back down, had like a midnight snack, crashed out, woke up and went to Chinese dinner with the family, with mom and dad.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
I think it's interesting that both you and I are not gamblers.
Yeah.
My significant other and I went to the world's largest casino in Oklahoma, and she gave me $100. She took her $100. She likes a particular slot machine, and after a couple of hours,
she was taking your $100.
Well, that only happens 50% of the time. She has pretty good luck. There are many times we were up a couple of $100s. More times than not. But again, when it's all said and done, I still had my $100 because I'm not built that way. I'm not either. I'd rather have it in my pocket and
save it for a rainy day,
or I would rather go buy a pair of great boots with like $200 and gamble $200.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I
would rather go spend, like, my whole thing was, all right, when we're done, we're going to go have a really cool dinner at the really nice place in the casino here, and I'm going to use my $100 that you gave me for gambling to go pay for it.
Right. Like, I'd rather spend the money on a really nice meal or a nice experience, whatever that experience is. It could be going to a show. It could be going... but I was like that as a kid because literally one of the very few things, like if I had earned an allowance or had a job, because, again, I started working when I was 11 because you were allowed to back then. All my money went to either purchasing something that I really wanted, like that little black and white TV, or... It would go to an experience like...
what a great buy that was, because you used it, and then you passed it on to me, and I used it for the Atari and the Nintendo.
And then mom and dad used it in the trailer.
Really?
Yeah. That came out of the trailer.
Interesting.
Yeah, that thing fucking... It was... I paid $100 for it, brand new. It was like a 4-inch screen, black and white, had AM, FM... radio, and that was it. There was no tape player or anything like that.
You're talking about the little portable one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember using that in the old Airstream.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it ended up. But even at that age, like let's say we were out camping or whatever, and I had some fuck around money. I was the one that would be like, okay, I want the experience. So, but I was judicious in that. So like if we went to like the common area and they had video games or you could play pool, I would only use a certain amount of that. You know, like I was very, very into restricting how much money I was just going to put into a game. So, you know, let's say it was Pac-Man, right? In my opinion, $2 was 8 games and that's enough. I'm not going to spend more than $2 because I don't want to be without that money for whatever my next experience might be. Because I was thinking ahead, like, okay, well, we're going and we're doing these things. And maybe if I have the money and I want to buy something or I want to do something that mom and dad don't want to give me money for, and they're like, well, you got to take it out of your money, I'll have the money to do that. And that's the way I look at gambling, I think, is to me, it's the endless video game. It's the endless, you're just giving your money away. And so, like, to me, I'm not interested in that. And no matter what the thrill is or what I can win, I'm not really interested in that. It goes back to where we were talking about lottery. So, like, the Powerball now is, like, $1.2 billion or something like that.
Yes.
And you know what? I can afford 5 tickets when it gets to that point. But when it was at, you know, $750 million, I'd get 1 ticket. That's all I need for my
I tend to play more when the amount is lower.
I do that with the classic lottery. So I'll play classic lottery when it's, you know, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million or whatever.
So I know we got sidetracked. Your perfect Christmas is basically in a casino.
No, that's just the best one that I've had. Okay.
It's just some showgirls, donkey.
If I had it, again, are we talking what most people would think is an ideal?
No, I wanted to know your perfect Christmas.
Just a nice meal. That's it. You know, maybe a couple of close people, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not into having friends over. I'm not into big celebrations. I'm not into going to big parties and stuff like that. Like, I like it small and quiet, and the smaller and quieter, the better.
Maybe in the future, the next Christmas, we could actually work out something where, you know, all of us meet up at some casino resort to spend a day or two, go down by the pool, get some food.
Okay, so now you're talking about a casino with a... So you're talking more... No, I'm going to pass.
How dare you?
Like, that's too much work. That's too much work. You know how much thought went into when I did that? When I did do that, you know how much thought went into it? It was, you know what? I'm fucking done with all these attitudes and opinions on how this is going to go down. I'm not participating. And that was like literally, I think it might have been hours before the event was supposed to happen. It might have been upwards of a day, but it was no more than 24 hours. That's how that came into play. Is it was a very, very, well, maybe I'm remembering that wrong. Maybe it was a little bit more time.
I'm going to lure you in. I will figure out a way to lure you in.
I know you want to. I know, you know, but.
It'll just be a cool hangout. Let's have some dinner. Have some laughs. I'll dress up as a Charles Dickens character and ringing a bell, singing carols at you as.
If you're not Tiny Tim, I don't.
Oh, there's nothing tiny about me.
So, yeah, so what would your perfect Christmas be?
You know, honestly, I dug the Christmas Eve opening up the gifts. It's probably because I have good memories. But if I was to throw a Christmas, I would have family come over Christmas Eve, have a cool dinner. Maybe.
So you would
want to
host. You would want to host.
Yeah, I have no problem hosting.
I fucking hate hosting. I don't ever want to host.
Well, the trick is not overthinking. I've learned from our family. And
oh no, that's not the reason.
Up in the morning.
That's not the reason I don't want to host. The reason I don't want to host is because I want to be able to leave when I want to fucking leave and not have to deal with these people anymore. That is absolutely. It's totally selfish. It has nothing to do with with any anxiety.
Well, I would, you know, have them spend the night. We'll watch some Christmas specials like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Elf, modern Christmas classics too. But all in pajamas, some cereal, you know, waking up, eat some cereal out of big fucking cereal bowl.
Okay, you lost me at they spend the night. I'm sorry, I'm out. There was a time. So let's back up a little bit, okay?
Well, I'm talking about my perfect
Christmas. No, I understand that. I understand that. But I think it's important for the audience to understand this, okay? When you got married, right, your wife was thrilled that she was getting a brother-in-law. Yes. She was very excited that she was getting a brother-in-law. And you had to break the news to her, I'm not that guy. Like,
but you are. You claim that you're not, but you're awesome.
Well, in small, small doses, I'm awesome. But I'm not. I'm not that guy. Like, if you think I'm the guy that's going to just show up for a barbecue, it's not happening. I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? Like, under any circumstance, I would rather eat gravel than fucking show up at a barbecue with a bunch of people.
See, there's a difference, though, is that I grew up with you. I know your idiosyncrasies. I know your tendencies to do shit, and I know how to handle you.
Okay.
You don't realize this, but I do know how to handle
you. I know you handle me a lot.
And
especially when I start getting pissed.
I shouldn't say this, but one of the things, like, the way you solve that problem is hey, Steve, you at home? Yeah, sure. Why? What's up? I'm like, oh, nothing. I'm pulling up with some barbecue.
Yeah, you have to basically ambush me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That is the way to do it.
Yeah, but,
and of course to have a good bottle of Jameson Black or Lagavulin 16 out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can win me over now with whiskey on the front end. So like but once that bottle's gone, you better be hitting the fucking bricks. I don't care if we've eaten. Fucking bottle's gone. You're either going to go and get more or you're going to fucking go away.
The difference is that I know that you should always have 2 to 3 bottles.
Yes, you do know that. It's the Irish in me. But don't you, I mean, so what is it that you, is it the sense of like family that you like out of that idea, or is it the sense of community? Is it the sense of, because it didn't have to be necessarily
community,
family.
Who am I inviting?
Well, I mean, as an example, if Kirk were still alive, I know you'd invite Kirk because he wouldn't have
anyone.
You know what I mean? So that's why I say, like, I'm sure that you have certain friends still that maybe don't have family or don't have a good relationship with their family, but do appreciate being part of a celebration. So that's why I say friends, family, community, whatever. Is that what you get out of it? This sense of family, the sense of community, the sense of friendship?
Friendship, family, experience, making memories. I still think that
sounds hideous to
Christmas,
me.
a fun Christmas holiday would be like a destination Christmas, like where maybe a little less Christmas and a little more fun.
Yeah. So I've thought about that. I have thought about that. Like, just completely fucking off from, you know, the 22nd, 21st, 22nd, all the way through to the 2nd or 3rd. And, you know, like doing a vacation type Christmas where it's like we're not really celebrating by giving gifts. The trip is the gift. Experience is the gift.
I would try that.
I hate
receiving gifts. Because I have that anxiety of opening a gift in front of other people.
Yeah, I fucking hate it.
It's
not interesting.
Scares me.
It's a
what
phobia.
If I don't react the way that they want me to react?
I think that we got that from mom.
Could be.
And I think it's.
But I mean,
because like when dad would open a gift, it didn't matter how great it was. He always had the same reaction. So you knew what the reaction was going to be from dad. Mom, if it was a shit gift, she would get a different tone and look on her face. Her tone.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
And you went, fucking dropped the ball.
Well, Mom was the, I'm going to thank you for this gift, even though I bought it for myself and put your name on it.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, our mom is the Elsie in Elsie's Little Pickles. Yeah. Who, unfortunately...
We love her dearly.
We love her dearly, but her, she was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, she had her quirks, and it either made you hate her or love her.
Well, it definitely made you tougher. You know, I will say.
There's nothing quite like the hour before her hosting a holiday to make you hate holidays in the house.
I think that was part of it too for me because, you know, there was different stages of that. And I don't know if you remember the early stages. I think that she kind of was coming into her second or third stage by the time you would have been like 5-6 years old and kind of recognized what was going on. I went through the stage of, and while she made us dress accordingly for all the holidays, and there was always the new little outfit that we had to wear that we hated, and it was always funny.
I remember distinctly that going on for Easter's.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Easter matching Easter suits, like, oh, look at the sky blue or
it was
blue little
fucking
suit.
Horrible. But there was that point because she would wait to dress or to make sure we were dressed about an hour to 45 minutes to an hour before the, you know, whoever was supposed to be coming was to arrive. And when you're fucking 5, 6, 7 years old and you're in an uncomfortable new little suit that you fucking hate and you're looking at and you even know. I mean, I had one that had ruffles down the front. At one point, you know what I mean? She made me look like I was a Irish kid at a Puerto Rican wedding. It was horrible, horrible looking.
I remember the ugly looking sweater vests.
Oh, God, I hated
sweater vests.
To this day, I won't even look at a sweater vest because of that.
I don't even like sweaters.
I don't either.
A sweater vest.
I won't wear any sweater. There's no sweater that I wear.
No. Nope.
You know,
I mean, I was just in a store and they had those Irish, what are those called? The white sweaters.
Yeah.
Starts with an A.
Yeah. Starts with an A.
Something.
Aaron.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that would be kind of cool. And I touched it and I was like,
nope, can't do it. Mom, fuck that up.
I'll never wear it.
Nope. See, that's the thing. Like, I know you want me to be on board with holidays, but
it's like touching fleece for me. God, I hate fleece with the
same here. So how is it that you and I, and again, I think this is turning into therapy more than a fucking podcast, but how is it that both of us, if you think about it, okay, we both turned out atheists, we both turned out smokers, we both enjoy whiskey, and Mom would imbibe with wine, but Dad wasn't a drinker. She would never touch anything more than wine that I knew of,
Uncle
or
Joe
Tom
and
Collins.
Seven and sevens.
Yeah, you know, so like, but that was like, it was, oh my God, this is unusual. They're having a drink. It wasn't like the norm, you know. Yeah. Mom and our aunt would always have wine, but it was even odd for Uncle Joe and Dad to have a beer. Like, that was kind of odd, you know, unless it was a holiday.
I figured it was because they were afraid I would drink it.
I think that was part of it too, because you used to run around, sneak up behind them, grab them and fucking chug them. You know what I mean? But here, you know, and this is what gets me about it. Okay. So let's back up a minute. We're all these things. We're, both performers. They were not performers. We, both, were, you know, into smoking, drinking, rock and roll, fighting, all the things that they were opposed to. We both turned out to be atheists. Like, you and I are more alike, and yet we're adopted.
Yes. Well, some of that can be attributed to the fact that we are of the Celtic nation, which is big in drinking and fighting and partying.
Yeah.
It's in the blood.
I think it is to a degree. I know that there's going to be people out there go, that's not fair to say, blah, blah, blah. But I think that there is a little bit of, if you come, you know, your heritage is more Scottish. I think you got some Irish in you too, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so you got Scottish, Irish, and English, right? Right. Where I'm...
Well, I've got a touch of Scandinavian.
Okay, I'm a little bit more... I'm a little bit more 50-50.
Okay.
I'm English and Irish.
I am technically, according to my DNA, 99.8% European.
And when you look at that, they all drink, smoke, and fight. That's kind of... That's kind of a good time.
I am almost a first generation American.
That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. But what kills me about it, like I said, is this idea that here we are, we both fucking hate sweaters. We both hate fleece. I got to believe that a lot of that just comes from our background and that you and I just kind of like, we were forced to deal with these things from usually mom.
I always enjoy auntie. When people will come at me with, oh, your ancestors bought and sold slaves here in the United States. Not me, man. My family were in the hills of Scotland fighting for our rights. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We just learned that we're going to play some bagpipes. We're going to dress crazy. We're going to scare the shit out of our enemies and then pull out knives and kill them.
See, me, it was, you know, again, it was more of the, you know, we'll have a couple of drinks until you say something shitty, and then we're going to end up outside fighting. But I
and
think
then
that
afterwards,
I
we're
think
gonna
that
have a couple more drinks.
Yeah, and then we'll have. But if you look back, like even with me and you, that has always kind of been who I've been. Like I want to have great conversation. I want to laugh more than anything else. I want to laugh and make people laugh. That's always been the thing. Like everything else in life is a distraction from something that could be fun and you could be laughing about. That's the everything that annoys me. You said that very, very succinctly, and you said you know, when you were talking to Dad, you're like, Dad, you don't understand. Any problem you bring to Steve, he's happy to help you with. But tap dancing to get there, that's not gonna work. You can't do it because all you're doing is preventing him from getting to the point where he can be laughing again. And making people laugh again. So just tell him the problem. He'll have a solution. And then life moves on easy. I don't like the bullshit. I don't like the... I love a great conversation. But I hate small talk. If that makes sense.
What do you think of the weather today, Steve?
I couldn't fucking
Isn't
care
it
less.
Crazy?
And... Unless there's a dick joke in here somewhere, I'm not interested in this conversation. You know, I think that for me is more genetic. I think that's more nature, not nurture. But I think the nurture part.
I want to try to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, you were always the one that was poking. You know, if I was the bear, you were the one poking.
Oh, I would poke.
You know, but. Going back to the holidays, that's all it was. And it was like, mom and our aunt would talk on the phone two or three times every single day for upwards of, you know, if it was a short conversation, half hour. Yeah. Like there was never a conversation that they had was not at least a half hour. And that would happen two, three, four times a day, every day. And then the holiday would come, and they would act like they hadn't had any conversation, and they would do small talk. And it drove me nuts, because I'm like, look, I heard you bitches talking about this already. What are you doing? So, I don't know. Like, the whole idea of family get-togethers, and again, I know you love it, and desperately trying to get me into the frame of mind, but I don't know that I'll ever be able to. Not in the classical sense.
What's your perfect Halloween?
Oh, see, I used to, of all of the holidays, that's the one that I do still have a soft spot for. But oddly, probably haven't really been into it for the last 5 to 10 years. I love watching all the kids dress up, and I like the idea of dressing up for the kids. But specifically in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, it seems like Halloween has become kind of a, how can I dress like a fucking slutty whore holiday more than anything else?
God love them.
God love them. But that's all well and good if you're going to a Halloween party or you're going to go to a bar. The problem is those are the last two places I ever want to fucking be on any day, much less a holiday. So the idea of being able to appreciate it as an adult, that went out the window probably when I was about 25. I remember being at a costume party at a bar. I was performing, and I might have been 30. But this bar had a Halloween comedy show, and I got hired to do the show. And it was really weird because it was like everyone in the audience was dressed up in some fucked up costume or whatever, including the couple that won that came as some sort of like legit foam monster type thing that would blow smoke out of the nose. And it was like, it looked like it was probably a $7,000 costume that each of them had on. It was legit and amazing, but they're stuck in this fucking costume trying to wiggle their big fucking foam asses all through the bar, knocking shit over everywhere. And, you know, like the costume was set to kind of like, I guess there was an automatic thing where it would blow smoke out of the nose. Like it was, you know, like it was a dragon or some shit. And it was just on this little timer. So every like 10 minutes, there'd be this big puff of like dry ice or smoke or whatever the fuck they were using. Right. And it was distracting, you know, so that was probably the last time I actually enjoyed it. What would it take from, again, at this point, I just enjoy watching the little kids running around. Like I can totally enjoy that holiday through a 7-year-old's eyes.
Do you remember back in the day, the costumes we would get at Trimmer Jack?
Yeah. The fucking plastic.
The plastic rubber banded on face mask.
And you get so pissed brilliant. If that band broke, because then you had to use kite string and tape. Yeah,
or you're just screwed.
Or you're just screwed, yeah. You just couldn't wear a mask.
The amount of sweat that would pour out of that mask whenever you tilted it up to eat a piece of candy.
Oh, it was disgusting.
And you always had to try to sneak a piece of candy before mom and dad checked it. Because everybody was absolutely sure that somebody might have slipped a razor blade into a Snickers.
Yeah. Yeah, that was always the worry, was that there was going to be some sort of pin.
The police department would run a metal. We never got to that level, luckily.
Well, they had it available. It just, mom and dad just were too, they were like, what's the worst that happens? We have to run them up the road to the fucking ER. Like they were all panicked like at 6 o'clock when we went out. But by the time we got done at 8:30, they'd be like, whatever.
Did you know that the whole razor blade and apples or candy for that matter?
This is bullshit.
Never fucking happened.
It never happened.
It never happened. It was an urban legend. The only time that there was an actual poisoning, it happened once back in the early 70s, late 60s. And it was the kid's father that.
Well, maybe that little motherfucker should have been paying attention to what his dad said.
That's awesome. And we have covered before Thanksgiving, ideal Thanksgivings, which is, to me, I don't like turkey. Give me a ham, some mashed taters.
Yeah, I mean, we already talked about
green
that.
Green bean casserole.
Earlier.
But I forgot about the football. I'm a sports guy. I love football. I'm happy as a pig and shit. Just having some ham, some food.
Okay, so let me ask you this. On Thanksgiving, okay?
On Thanksgiving.
Let's say you're going to be in town, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say you're going to come in town, you're going to visit family, you're going to visit me, whatever, right? Thanksgiving happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your choice is you can watch the game on TV or we go down to Ford Field and watch it in person and then come home and have dinner. What is your...
I would rather watch it on TV.
Same. Absolutely.
I've gone to see football games in person. It's fun.
It's great. It's fun.
However,
and I don't even like football.
Shit. I don't like other people. I've had better experiences at U of M's, the big house, with people around me than at Lions games or any pro sports, because I've seen the Cowboys too live. But I'm more into it if it's on TV. I can go have a cigarette if I want to. I can go take a leak in my own bathroom whenever I want.
There's something about having no home bowl.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's not an interest to me to see it in person on my Thanksgiving.
Right? That will give you an idea how I feel about the holidays. Okay, I've done it. I've seen it. I've participated in it. I bought the T-shirt, and I'm done with that experience. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. You know what I mean? Like, I realized I actually was asking myself, because I was like, you know, I really kind of felt bad that I wasn't into it. And I kept saying no to.
How about what is your perfect New Year's?
Sleep. Dun, dun, dun. A couple of drinks and go to, and crash out.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not interested.
Go to bed early.
No, I'll stay up for it. You know what I mean? Because I typically stay up that late anyway. I won't stay up for New Year's Eve because it's New Year's Eve. I'll stay up for New Year's Eve because that's, I go to bed after midnight on the regular. You know, okay. So like, but to be perfectly honest with you, you know, again, a nice little meal. It doesn't have to be fancy. You know what I mean? Like, my favorite memory yes. of New Year's Eve.
I was about to get to this.
We had gotten to the point where we had convinced Mom that we needed a huge spread of food, right? Yep. And it was just me, you, and Jeff. And I think Jody, like, she was supposed to be the responsible adult, right?
Yes.
So she was, I don't even know, she's like 7 years older than us, I think. Somewhere's in that neighborhood, right? So she has a family friend.
Well, older than you.
Yeah, 7 years older than me. So she's a family friend, grew up down the street. Mom raised her as one of her own. Yeah. Did a lot of things for her. And loved her like a daughter, you know, her and her sister, Jill. So,
yep, I was about to say Jody and Jill.
Yep. Jill was a little bit older.
My pseudo mom.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Both of them were like pseudo moms to us. Right.
Well, you remember the story.
Oh yeah. She said that. Oh, no, I don't remember. Was it? She said, told a teacher that you were her kid.
Yeah, just to fuck with her teacher.
Yeah.
So something I would do.
And so funny. So we had gotten it down. I had kind of negotiated it and got just ridiculous amounts of fast food for us.
Yeah, so we had a big party pack from Taco Bell.
Yeah, we had or 40 tacos.
Yeah, and not to mention the giant 6 foot sub from Cubby's.
So we would get a 6 foot sub, like 30, 40 tacos, and at least two pizzas.
Yeah.
Right?
Back when Little Caesars gave you the 2-for-1 deal and it came in that paper package that you just tore open the top.
Yep.
Pizza.
And on top of that, so that was 1 year. But on top of that, we also got like 3 or 4 bags of crazy bread. I think we got one bag of crazy bread a piece.
Yeah.
So what we were going to do with all this food, who fucking knows, right? But we got it. And 1 year it was McDonald's, I think, and we got just regular hamburgers and cheeseburgers and like I think she got.
Yeah, that was never as good as the tacos, which were good hot or cold hours later. Still
and,
ate them.
Yeah, we'd just eat them. and if you remember, what did we do? We played Atari all night.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't fuck around with anything else. We just took
There was
turns.
The one year we had those giant Tinker Toys.
Yes.
That we made the forts in the living room.
Yeah, so like those holidays, but again, where were mom and dad? They were fucking gone. Where was auntie, yeah. uncle, you know, aunts, uncles, all that fucking gone.
At the Elks Club.
They were doing their own fucking thing. Yeah. So it wasn't a holiday in the traditional sense of Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. It was.
That's what we got to do. That's how we're going to have to spend like a New Year's or a Christmas. I'm going to show up at your house with some barbecue, some Jameson Black Label or some Lagavulin, and a crap load of Tinker Toy, giant Tinker Toy toys.
And you make a fort.
Make a fort around the TV.
But see, that's the thing, though, is if you remember, we made that thing so big, and then the opening was so we could, like, where we pulled the opening apart, we would fold that part of the blanket up so that we could just sit there and either watch TV or play video games.
Yeah, because those were the few times that mom and dad would allow us to put the Atari on the big TV.
Right. Right. That was a big deal. That was a big deal. It was in color.
And the sound from the speakers would fill that little tent.
Oh, yeah. But that's what I'm saying, though, is that's not a holiday. You're just there with your brother and your cousin, and the adults are fucking off, getting hammered, doing whatever the fuck the adults do at that point. You know what I mean? That was enjoyable. I did look forward to that because that was like, okay, great. I don't have to deal with bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, even at that age, you know, when that happened, I was probably what, 10, 11 years old? You were probably 5, 6, roughly. And we had a blast. You know why? No fucking adults. Fucking it up with holiday bullshit. Fucking it up with, you do know that what baby New Year represents is the baby Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, there was none of that. There was no religious aspect to New Year's. And I think even at that age, I was just like, this works. This works. No one fucking with me. No, I'm just doing my thing. I'm just enjoying. I'm entertaining myself.
So let me ask you a trivia question. Why do we have our trees inside of houses and decorate them?
Well, I know that it goes back to, it was a Germanic tradition, right?
Yeah, it was a pagan thing.
It was pagan, but specifically, yeah. out of Germany.
Anything that isn't Christian is pagan.
Well,
let's just say that, but.
But it comes out of Germany when they would bring an evergreen into the Great Hall, and that even
right. as a symbol of coming spring,
right, to remind you that spring's coming.
Yep.
There's so many things like that. I think, you know, the bulbs, I think, represent those magic mushrooms that grew in that area, the red and white ones that are basically.
Done. Dun, 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 dun,
Santa
dun,
Claus,
dun, dun,
yeah,
dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. And
Super Mario Brothers, the mushrooms.
Well, you had, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong on this, but the reindeer, quote unquote, mm-hmm. would eat these mushrooms and get all fucked up. And I think that that's where the idea of flying reindeer come from. And I think that that's the reason why Santa, his outfit is red, white, and black, because those mushrooms are red and white, and it's a magic mushroom trip.
I don't remember the symbolism of the outfit, but Santa Claus is Odin. Thank you very much.
Wasn't there he was Odin, but there was also Saint Nick who would give away small bags of gold and bags of grain to those who were hungry. I mean, there was that too.
Yes.
But wasn't there something prior to that? There was a precursor to Saint Nicholas. and I'm probably gonna show my ignorance here, but it was, I know there's a movie called Krampus, but wasn't that like also part of the mythological origins? Well,
for the Germanic Krampus was for the bad children. That was a real thing. If you didn't listen to your parents, Krampus would come kidnap you and eat you.
Because Jesus loves you.
But I mean, Santa Claus has got 7 reindeer. You know what else had the number 7? Sleipnir. Odin's horse had 7 legs.
7 legs, yes.
Was it 7? Was it 8? I want to say it was 7.
I thought it was 7 too. But see, that's
the
thing.
The numbers are the same.
I remember having a conversation where like I'd gone into a deep dive on a lot of the origins of Christmas symbolism, whether it was the bulbs, whether it was the mistletoe, the tree, tinsel, you name it. Like they were giving all the kind of background history on that.
No, I was incorrect. It isn't 7. It is 8-legged horse. There are 8 reindeers of Santa Claus. And Sleipnir would be ridden by Odin for the great hunt to begin, where he would give you prosperity through gifts. Or judgment, for that matter, if you were bad. But, yeah.
So I guess, again, like one of the things that bothers me about the holidays, and it bothers me because, how do I put this?
Oh, say it. Rip the Band-Aid off.
I get people believe what they believe. Okay. You know, Christmas, baby Jesus was born. No, it's not. It's Saturnella. It's pagan holiday. It's combined with the Germanic and all that. Okay. All right. Yeah. All these are being combined and being absorbed by early Christians or, you know, Christian leaders in an effort to recruit and bring on larger numbers of Christians by saying, oh, okay, well, you know what? You can have that. We have that too. It's just a little bit different. Come check ours out. It's a little bit cooler. All right, I'll check it out.
Well, it wasn't always like that. It was a lot of the time more of a, hey, check out our God, because if you don't, I'm going to behead you.
Yeah, no, there was that too. I mean, all religions in between about 500, 600 years old.
Let Yahweh save you so that I don't have to kill you.
Well, you got to keep in mind, like I said, show me a religion.
Knock, 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 knock. Hey, it's Jesus. Let me in. Why should I let you in? So I can save you from what I'll do to you if you don't let me in.
And that's why we have Passover. That is another example. It's like all these things are kind of rooted in, if you don't do this, something bad's going to happen. I don't like that. I don't like being threatened into a good time. You know what I mean? Like, don't, you know, like the joke of don't threaten me with a good time is one thing, but don't threaten me to have a good time is a totally different thing. You know what I mean? If you don't celebrate this, if you don't do it this way, if you don't believe this way, you're going to burn in hell. Well, you just lost me at the end. As soon as you threatened me, I'm walking away. As soon as you tell me there's going to be negative repercussions for you if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm out. But I have always had a problem with authority. To this day, I have a problem with authority.
You're starting a war on Christmas.
No, I don't give a fuck about it. That's my point, is it doesn't
change.
That
is the war. Damn it, it's supposed to be a Christ mass.
But it doesn't change that Christmas is going to happen whether I like it or not. Just like it doesn't change that Trans Visibility Day is going to happen whether you like it or not. Just like it doesn't change that, you know, Tater Day and Balloon Day are the same day. What you do with it is what matters. And this is what I don't get with people lately. It's like, if everything can fucking
put a bug that far up your ass that you feel you have to run to social media and make some sort of comment about it instead of just being like, well, if they want to celebrate Trans Day, great. Good on them. I'm celebrating Easter. Okay. No one said you couldn't. And it's the same thing here. I'm not telling you not to celebrate Christmas. I'm telling you I'm not celebrating it. And whether I celebrate it or not will not affect anyone. Anyone who doesn't know me. It affects family members, obviously. You know, they don't care for that. But at some point, you get old enough to where you go, yeah, you'll get over it. And if you don't, well, that's okay too. Because I'm just not doing that anymore. I did that for too long, and I'm just not interested.
It's kind of like when people get upset. Me personally, if I hear someone say, hey, Merry Christmas, I will say Merry Christmas back. I'm not sensitive enough that I'm going to.
What I'm talking about.
Why don't you say Merry Yule to me? Well, I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'll do the same thing. I'm very polite when it comes to other people's belief systems. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I try to be, at least, especially during the holidays. You know what I mean? Look, somebody says Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Have at it. I don't care. It doesn't change me at all. It doesn't affect me at all. You know, and maybe if I'm having a bad day, I'm like, yeah, whatever, okay. You know what I mean? But I don't care what you believe. What I don't like is this consistent and constant, and it's not just Christianity. It's Christianity in the United States. It's Islam in you know, the Middle East. It's Judaic belief in Israel and certain parts of New York. But and Hollywood. It seems to be, at least in my opinion, you have a higher concentration of Christians and Islams in those two different geographic areas.
Islams.
Islamics. What did I say? Islams? I meant Islamics. Yes. My tongue didn't keep up with my brain. So like in the Middle East, you have the Islamic faith. And a lot of those people who are feeling like the power is slipping away are pushing to become more theocratic. Same in the United States. This idea that there's a difference between, the teachings of Muhammad and the teachings of Christ affecting politics, man, there's not much difference. So you have to come to a point where you go, I either understand that there can be no combination of these two things. There can be no mixing of religion and politics, or it has to be nothing but mixing it. And when you mix it, this is the problem. First and foremost, whether you're Christian or Muslim, if you believe, or any religion, it doesn't matter, but as soon as you, of any religious belief, think that God is on your side, your God is on your side, you're going to do the most horrific things unimaginable to you under any other circumstance. You're going to say horrible shit. You're going to do horrible shit. And you're going to do it because God is on your side.
It's ironic how sometimes God hates the same people that the person hates. Isn't it?
What do you mean? God hates the same people you hate? Oh my God.
That's pretty
that cashier is a total bitch. And I know God doesn't like her because she got hit by a car when she was collecting carts.
Same time you had the football dudes that win the Super Bowl. Yay sports. Thank you Jesus for letting us win. That implies that Jesus hated the other team.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going with that. This is like, as soon as you assume that you have God on your side, whatever God you're talking about, whatever faith, whatever religion, you're going to behave in a horrific way because you think you can do no wrong because God has got your back and is on your side. And I think that any country or any political, you know, ideology that would run a nation based on that, you've already seen it not work. You know it doesn't work. You know it's fucking horrible. Why do you keep doing this? Oh, it's because God told me to. Well, maybe you need to speak to a therapist. Maybe you need a, you know what I mean? Maybe you need to bring this back down to, it's one thing to believe. It's faith. I don't get faith. Okay. I don't have faith. I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in fact. I'm interested in proof. Okay. And maybe that makes me cynical. Maybe that makes me any number of things. You can call me any name you want. But the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, if I'm trying to get something done, I'm not going to have faith that I'm going to get it done. I'm going to have fact. There's this much time in the day for me to do this task. There's this much work to be done. Yes, I can do that, or no, I can't. That's a yes or no. That's a binary fucking answer. You know what I mean?
I remember I was probably 14, 15 years old. And I got to be an usher for a church service. You know, we...
Oh, I hated that. Oh,
walked up the middle with a collection plate, passed down the aisle. You got to skip part of the sermon, though, because you had to do stuff in the office, like after the plates were passed.
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't. But I had to stay. They had me sitting up. It may have changed for you because of me, because I was like the guy that did it for years. Like, I had no choice. And I started getting bored up there. And I didn't realize that people could see me past the podium. Mm-hmm. And I got in trouble. Let's just leave it at that. I got in trouble. I don't remember what I did, but I got in trouble. I might have fallen asleep.
I'm talking about just being an usher rather than the, what was it?
Acolyte.
Candle bitch.
I was the acolyte. Thing. I was the bitch candle boy.
I did that for a while too. But as an usher, we collected plates, went into the office, and there was a guy that was always an usher, Harry, who was a hysterical individual. Like, he would always crack a joke. He made everything fun. And we were separating cash from checks and, you know, the ones, tens, fives, whatever. And one of the members of the church had written a check. I won't say his name. He's passed on. But Harry kind of nudges me and shows me the check. And it was like for $700.
Jesus.
And this was just a regular sermon, nothing, no holiday, no nothing special. And he just nudges me. He's like, Jesus Christ, I wonder what the hell he did.
Yeah. Guaranteed. That's fucking funny. Jesus Christ, what did he do wrong? So I guess, I mean, you know, we should probably wrap this up, but the way I look at it
wrap
is...
Wrap it up in a little bow and put a little tag that says... To Steve from
Steve.
From Santa.
No. Remember Mom used to do to me from me?
Yeah. Yeah.
All
the time.
I think that the vast majority, and I'm glad that you had the vast majority of your memories positive. Mine were not when it came to holidays. They just weren't.
I'm so sorry. I if I were there, I wouldn't give you a hug. I would just give you a
pat on the back.
A dram of Lagavulin.
That would be even better.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Well, you know what sucks though? What sucks is once you get out of your environment, let's say, okay,
mm-hmm.
You always end up going back because then you got it, and that's another thing, like it always makes it worse. So if you're dating or you're married or whatever your personal relationship status is at that time, you end up back there again and again and again. And at what point do you get to make that decision? You know, like, and that was for me. I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, now I got to do it this way. And now I got to do it at that house too. And, you know, now I'm doing it twice or three times, or, oh, now I got to go visit a friend too. And it became too much. It just got to be too much. And there's always disappointed feelings. So like, if you're in a relationship, one side It's like, we got to spend more time here, or we got to spend more time there, or you're not balancing it out, or you didn't make it for dinner. So it's like always an argument. So as I got older and the holidays, you know, come around, and I'm dealing with my son and trying to make sure that he gets time with everyone that he needs to get time with, I just got to the point where I went, the fuck am I doing? What am I doing? And once he was old enough and I didn't have to do that anymore, like once he hit 18, I was like, you know what? I think I'm an adult and I can say no. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just saying no. It doesn't bring me joy. It doesn't bring me happiness. And you know what? Most of these people I wouldn't choose as my friends. So why in the fuck am I spending time with them? You're fortunate. You got the day off of work. Oh, why don't you go fucking spend it with people you don't even want to fucking be around? You know, like, as much as I love mom and dad, I didn't want to be around Auntie. I didn't want to be around Uncle Joe. And they were always around.
This is true.
So now I have to be around people I don't want to be around who fucking made me miserable. For what?
Well, you know, in the future, I will figure out something that you and I can do for a holiday.
How about a non-holiday holiday?
Oh, that would be fun too.
Where we just go, this is just a little pickle holiday. Let's have a little pickle.
Our own.
Let's have a little pickle holiday. I'd do that.
St. Pickleus. We're celebrating St. Pickleus.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's make up our own fucking holiday based off of little pickles. Let's do that. That sounds fun. All right. Unless you got anything else to add. Until next week, motherfuckers.
Yeah, until next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Peace.
This is the outro.
Welcome to the outro. Down and out now.
I'm doing all of that.
This is the outro.
Little pickle outro. Say goodbye, Keith.
Goodbye, little pickle.
Say goodbye, Keith.
Goodbye.